is a special journey that a husband and wife go on together. It is not a sprint that you run fast and finish quickly. It is more like a marathon. A really, really, really long marathon. A marathon where you get in trouble for not mowing the lawn or putting your dirty clothes in the hamper. The type of marathon where instead of friends cheering you on from the sidelines, there are in-laws cheering only for the person next to you and judging your every movement. Marriage is a marathon where no matter how tired you get of your running partner and all the annoying things they do, you have to keep running with them because those are the rules. And there are no prizes waiting for you at the finish line, just the satisfaction of knowing that there is no marriage in heaven.
Hey, I want to welcome you this morning to Genesis Church. We're so excited that you're here this morning. And a little bit different setting maybe for you this morning to be in a theater and having church, but no doubt the Spirit of God is here this morning. Lord have mercy as people have worshiped this morning. I believe not only this morning to be an important morning, but I believe it to be an exciting morning. I really do. I believe that this will be a day that many of you will remember for the rest of your life and for many years to come. And I say that because I believe some of you are going to look back at this day as a pivotal moment in your marriage and in your relationship, or perhaps if you're not married, if you're not even dating, in your future marriage, I believe you're going to look back at this day as that pivotal moment that something finally clicked, and you've got a new understanding and a very fresh understanding of what God has in store for you in the context of marriage. I promise you, we have prayed and we have asked God to do the impossible this morning, and we truly expect God to answer that prayer that we pray every single week, but especially today, that God would change lives. You know, one of the most exciting experiences in people's lives is when they say those famous words, "I do." I mean, because I do quite a few weddings from time to time throughout the year, and I want to say, as a pastor, I absolutely love doing weddings. I absolutely enjoy it. I love doing the premarital counseling. I love sitting down with couples and hearing their story of how they fell in love, how they came to know one another. I've heard some interesting stories as you can imagine, through the years, of how people met and how people came to fall in love. And I love sitting down with people and talking about what God has in store for their marriage. But I want to be honest about it. As exciting as that experience has been, and if you're married, I hope it was one of the most exciting experiences of your life. I promise you, I will never forget looking back 21 years, 10 months, and 13 days ago when my wife stood in the courthouse at Tipton County. Yes, we went to the courthouse and got married. We eloped. But as she stood in that courthouse, she looked into my eyes and said, "I do." And I looked into her eyes and then I said, "I do." I promise you, I will never forget that day. It was one of the most incredible days in my life, except for the day, which will be my 21st anniversary tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be Christian 21 years. January 24th, 1990, I gave my life to Christ. Except for that day, the day that I said "I do" on March 10th, 1989, was the most incredible, special day of my life. And it continues to be so. And I hope it was that exciting for you. I hope that you look back, if you're married this morning, I hope that you look back at that and say, "Man, that was an exciting time." Maybe you've had some rough times. It's been a roller coaster ride, but you still look back at that day as a very special day. But the reality is, let's just be honest this morning, the reality is, in this nation, 50% of all marriages will end in divorce. 50%. If you for those of you that might be dating, or maybe just you're not dating anybody, but you hope to get married one day, let me tell you what the odds are. 50 to 50 whether you're going to stay married or not. It's a 50-50 shot of whether you're going to stay married or not. It's my prayer, it's my hope, and it's my intention today to share with you, and the next 3 weeks, to share with you some very basic biblical principles about marriage that I believe will bring some refreshment in your existing marriage, and I believe will set you up for success in the marriage that God has in store for you. I am so excited about this morning. And without getting into all of the whys of failed marriages, what I want to do is, over the next few weeks, is I want to look at what God has to say about marriage. You know what? He invented it. He has something to say about it. He has something very important for us to understand about it. And I love the fact that when you read the Bible, God doesn't speak to marriages as an institution, although God instituted marriage. When you read the Bible, whenever there's a reference to marriage, one of the important things you need to understand is that God speaks to not marriages, God speaks to husbands and God speaks to wives. There's a big difference. Instead of looking at it as this institution that exists over here apart from the people that are in it, God addresses the husband and tells the husband, this is what you should do. God addresses the wife and says, this is how I have designed it for you, to have fulfillment, satisfaction, peace in your home. And maybe that describes your marriage. But I promise you this morning that if you will look at these principles with me, we're going to have some fun over the next few weeks. Today and the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at this series, Before You Say I Don't. Because it's my prayer that before you say I do, you will be prepared to never have to say those words, I don't love you anymore. I don't want to be married to you anymore. I want a divorce. My prayer this morning is before you get to that place, that you will learn the tools that you need to head it off right now. And I believe that's God's plan this morning. And if you've been that place before, maybe you've been divorced before, maybe you are divorced right now, but wherever you are, I promise you, drop it, leave it alone, let God heal the past, let God put the pieces back together, learn the principles right now that God has in store. And let me just say, I'm a husband. I don't have a perfect marriage. But I'm telling you, I know the power of God's Word. I know the power of the Spirit of God to use His Word to change hearts and to change lives and to heal homes and families and marriages. Now, I've got a couple of ground rules this morning. Number one ground rule, I don't want any, no elbowing each other in the ribs if you're married this morning. In other words, don't be elbowing your husband. Don't be elbowing your wife. I don't want somebody to email me this week and say, Bodie, you know, I left church with bruised ribs last week, or broken ribs. That would be a pretty good jab. Number two ground rule, and this is even a little bit more serious. Don't use this as a symbolic bat to beat your spouse over the head with. I'm serious. Some people say, you know what that preacher said? You know what that pastor said? Did you not hear what he said? So you should get in line. No, don't do that. I promise you, I can tell you right now, that won't work. You can blame it on me, but it won't work. It'll still affect you. Here's what I want to do. I want to start in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 5. Paul addresses in Ephesians 5. The whole chapter really talks about, I love the way the chapter leads off. It talks about us being imitators of God. And then he goes into, when he talks about being imitators of God, the first thing he does is start leading into relationships. He talks about the husband relationship, the husband-wife relationship. He talks about the child-parent relationship. He even talks about slaves and master relationships. But I want to begin in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, and I want to read just a few verses here, and then we're going to look at these verses and what they have to say this morning. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." Now, ladies, in case your wife, your husband is saying, "See, you're supposed to submit to me." Notice this: Paul has three verses to speak to the wives, and he spends the next several verses talking to the husband. He only gave y'all three verses here, husbands. He gave you all the rest. So you know what that means? We need a lot more instruction. Listen to verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." In order for us to understand the significance and the importance of these passages, it's critical for us to realize this morning that husbands and wives are given different instructions here because they have different needs in the context of marriage. That's very important. Over the next three weeks following this, these 4 weeks, it's important for us to understand that whenever we see passages that are given instructions to husbands and wives, it's because as a husband, I have different needs in the context of our marriage than my wife does. My wife has different needs. So when we see these different instructions, we have to remember that so that we understand that, you know, everything has its place and it's applicable to me as a husband, those things that speak to me, but it's not the same thing for my wife. We have different roles in that marriage. There are some things that your husband, that your wife needs from you in order to be fulfilled in that marriage, in order to be fulfilled in your relationship. And what's more, those needs are addressed in Scripture. You know what? It only stands to reason that the God who created marriage all the way back in the book of Genesis, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, all the way back in the very beginning, that God that created marriage would understand something about marriage to give to us. That He would understand about marital relationships and to give us clear principles in His Word right here for us to build a strong marriage. It's important. One that would honor Him. One that would give Him glory. The question then becomes this: will we put those principles into practice in our marriage? If God has something to say about marriage in His Word, if He has something to say about your marriage, about your husband, about your wife, then doesn't it make sense for us to listen? And if God has something to say to us, then the question is, will I put that into practice in my relationship with my spouse? That's very important. Wives, I want to speak to you first. When we're talking about the fact that your husband, there are basic needs that he has in the context of your marriage and your relationship. Just like there are needs, I'm telling you, wives can sit there and she can start rattling off, this is what I need out of our marriage, this is what I need out of our relationship. But husbands have a more difficult time communicating that. But nevertheless, despite that, they still have some basic needs in your relationship. They really do. They have needs in your relationship. And let me tell you what your husband's greatest need from you is. Your husband's greatest need from you, ladies, is respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. What does the rest go? Somebody is just as old as I am, I promise you, in this room. Because you knew that. Respect. Listen to what he says again. I want to back up to it. In verse 22, he says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Man, that verse has been ignored or abused. One or the other. It seems like it's either totally ignored, and the wife never, ever gives any submission to the leadership of the husband, or the husband uses that like a bat to drive his family into submission, thereby wounding and damaging and harming his relationship with his wife. But the fact is, God's Word says, look, wives, submit to your husbands. Now, that word submit in the Greek, it's a military term. If any of you are military or ex-military, you know what it means to be under authority. But you know what? What's significant about this word is, even though it's a military term, even though it means to be under authority, it implies a voluntary submission to authority. Now, I love the fact that we have the greatest country on the planet, and I believe we have the greatest armed forces on the planet, and I'm biased and I'll say so. I'm going to tell you what, and I'm getting off on a tangent here, so I'll make it real quick. I love the fact that I live in a country, whenever freedom cries for a defender, our armed forces stand up and say, we will answer the call. I love that. But one of the great things that makes our military so fantastic is it's voluntary. It's voluntary. Now, we have instituted a draft before. We have in wartime instituted a draft. But by and large, it's a voluntary force. You know why? People fight so hard and they stand so proud for the country and their flag because they stepped up and volunteered to do so. Think of this in the same terms. You submit to authority, ladies. You submit to the leadership of your husband voluntarily. Not he forces you into it. Not he commands you to do it. God says, submit to your husbands. When your husband senses that you truly, and it's all about respect. It really is. It's not about the authority issue. It's all about respect. But I'm going to tell you something, ladies. Listen to me very clearly. As a husband and as a pastor and as teaching this passage right here, when your husband senses that you truly, deeply respect him, there is a satisfaction in his life that cannot be replaced otherwise, that he can never find otherwise. When he senses his wife respects him, when he senses that his wife follows his leadership voluntarily without him having to say anything, without anything, I'm telling you, there is a satisfaction that develops in him as a husband that he will never, ever sense any other way. I mean, it's a deep satisfaction. You've heard the old saying, behind every good man is a good woman. We've all heard that. I want to tell you this morning, behind every good man is a woman who respects him. When that woman respects him, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to get into it. I'm about to get a little ahead of myself. This cannot, I promise you, ladies, this cannot be overstated this morning. Your husband needs for you to believe in him, needs for you to respect him as a husband and as a father. He needs you to believe in him when no one else does. I mean, you say, you mean just like stroke his ego? If necessary, yes. I mean, I know that sounds humorous and everything, but it's the truth. I mean, if you believe in him, if you respect him, if you say, you know what? I don't care what anybody else says about my husband. I believe in him. I respect him. I'm telling you, I promise you, he will. It won't matter if anybody else respects him or not. And you say, well, how do I do that? How do I show that admiration, that respect, that submission to my husband? How do I do that in a way that's biblical? And how do I do that in a way that will satisfy my husband's need in this marriage? If his need, his greatest need in this marriage is respect. Respect, admiration from you, ladies. How do you do that? Number one, I'm going to tell you, admire him publicly and privately. If you admire him, I'm going to tell you what he'll do. Ladies, listen to me real close. If you admire your husband publicly and privately, and he knows it, he will go get the moon for you. I promise you. It doesn't matter if anybody else respects him or admires him. If his wife respects and admires him, he will go get you the moon. Because he won't need anybody else's respect. The whole world can disrespect him, but if his wife respects him, he'll feel and act like the most admired man on this planet. And it won't matter what anybody else says about him. He needs that so deeply in you, ladies. He needs for you to believe in him. He needs for you to respect him, admire him. Do it publicly. Do it in front of people. I'm going to tell you, the worst thing you can do in your marriage is to criticize or insult your husband, joking or not, in public. He may say, I'm a man and I can handle it, but I'm going to tell you, it will be a blow to his ego. The guys that he's around, you know, if you're around guys very much, you'll see, man, they're constantly checking on one another, constantly insulting one another. We do it as a badge of honor. You know, we want to get one up on each other. The guys you work with, you know, you're constantly badgering one another and insulting one another, and it's all a joke. But there's something that happens when a woman does it that just strikes at our hearts. And especially if it's our wife. Brag on your husband in public. I don't mean like just empty flattery. I mean say something that he don't expect. Show him some respect and admiration in public and in private, behind closed doors and outside. And I promise you, it will start to change the man you're married to. Ladies that are not married, that you're dating, maybe you want to get married someday, you think about that. Your husband's greatest need is going to be for you to respect him and admire him. You already know that if you've ever dated. If you've been around boys past about sixth grade, what happens when the girl's around? They suddenly start getting more athletic. They suddenly start showing off. You know why they do that? They're trying to earn your respect, ladies. They're trying to earn your admiration. That's how important this is. That's what this passage is all about. When he keeps saying submit. It's all about respecting him as your husband. It's all about respecting his leadership and admiring him. Number two, ladies, imitate the church. That's what he said here, didn't it? He said, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands and everything. Imitate the church. You know what? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ does not have to be commanded to love and to respect Jesus Christ. Do you know why we do? Because we know how much he loves us. We do it out of love. We follow Christ not because he strikes with a whip and cracks us into line, but because Christ said, look, I gave myself up for you. I died on a cross for you. I displayed my love for all of history and all of the world to see that I love you deeply. And we follow him because he loves us. We submit to his authority and his leadership, not only because he's God, but because he displayed his magnificent love for us. Imitate the church. And sir, this doesn't mean that you're the dictator over your family. You're not little Lord, you know, you're not the little king in your castle. You are, but I'm telling you, you need to start acting. I'm going to tell you, if you want to be a king, start treating her like a queen, but I'll get to that in a minute. Woo, come on. All right. Admire him publicly, privately. Imitate the church. Let me tell you lastly, and this is just an acrostic aim. Model respect to him for your children. Model respect for him to your children. It will strengthen your relationship to him, and it will strengthen your husband's relationship to his children. I promise you. If you model that respect, because you know how kids are. If you got kids or been around kids, if they feel like that the parents are kind of like divided over a decision, they're going to play you off of one another. But if you respect that leadership, if you respect your husband, you model respect for him to your children will start changing, and it will start to change your relationship to your husband. I promise you, you try it for 1 week and see if it doesn't happen. All right, wives, I'll let you off easy. Husbands, I'm not going to be mean because I am one. You know what I really need to do? I should have had like one of those countryman mics on this morning and just go up here and sit with you as I talk. Because I'm having to receive this as well as I'm sharing this with you. So I'm right there with you, brother. I struggle with this every day. And have for over 21 years. Husbands, save the best for last. Your wife has an incredible need in your marriage. And I'm going to tell you what her greatest need is. And it's right here in this passage. And it's repeated over and over and over again. Husbands, your wife's greatest need from you is love. She needs you to love her. He says, husbands, love your wives. And in case you want to see how that plays out, he says, just as Christ loved the church. And then he goes into back about the fact that Christ sacrificed himself for his bride, the church. He says, husbands, love your wives. Listen to me, husbands. Listen to me, guys. She needs constant, consistent affection from you first and foremost. She needs you to be tender. She needs you to be affectionate. Deep down, let me tell you what the biggest question a woman has in her heart, and it starts as a little girl. And if you don't believe me, I've raised a little girl. I know when they play when they're playing, they'll be like the princess and stuff. And I mean, you see them, even little girls. And you know what that is? That is the deep internal need, the deep internal question that every woman has is, am I beautiful? Husbands, when you love your wife, when you show her affection, when you're tender to her, when you're, I mean, just gentle with her, and you constantly display your love for her, you are confirming that greatest need she has, and that is to be loved by you. Ultimately, God alone can answer the question about her identity. Ultimately, only God can remind her she is beautiful. But husbands, what happens for us is that we can not only we can either build up and reaffirm that which she's heard from God, or we can tear it down and we can damage it. In other words, when you love your wife, when you show her affection, when you show her tenderness, when you look at her in the eyes and you take her hand and hold her, when you pull her up close in a non-sexual way, what you're doing for her is you're confirming what God is saying. I created you to be beautiful. I created you, no matter what your skin color, your hair color, no matter what your eye color, no matter what your height or anything else, no matter your features, I created you. You are beautiful. And what I want to say to you is, a husband, is love your wife so that when she hears those words from you, it confirms what God's already saying in her heart. You want to see a change in your wife? Start showing her some affection. Start showing her some love. And I know what some guys are saying. They're saying, you know what? She knows I'm just not the affectionate type. Well, two things I want to share with you. One, guys, is I'm going to help you with that. I am actually going to help you with that. I am going to give you, I'm setting, look, I'm with you, brother. I'm going to set you up for success this week and the next 3 weeks. I am going to set, I'm lobbing you just an underhanded softball. It's hanging in the air for eternity. All you got to do is swing the bat. I'm telling you, I'm laying it out there today and the next 3 weeks. And you say, well, I'm not the affectionate type, but I've got another thing to say to you. For those husbands, for those guys that say, well, I'm just not real emotional, I'm not real affectionate, I've got a passage for you. James 4:17 says this. James says, in fact, if you know the right thing to do and don't do it, that for you is evil. In other words, if you know what you should do, you know what your wife needs, you know what your spouse needs, and you don't do it, you know what she needs is to feel loved by you and you don't do it. For you, James says, that's sin. It's not just wrong. It's not just a different personality type. It's actually sin when you don't love your wife. You say, well, I don't know how. I'm just not the affectionate type and I would do it, but I don't know how. I'm setting you up. I'm going to give you some very simple things. I'm telling you guys, I'm making this easy for you. Listen to me. You want to show her affection. You want her to know that you love her every day. Tell her you love her and let her know she's beautiful. Every single day of that woman's life, don't let one day go by without you saying, honey, I love you. You are beautiful. You are gorgeous. I mean, let her know every single day, every week, spend private time with her without an expectation of sex. I had to include that tagline because I know us guys. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's like match to a gas to gasoline, you know, just... and it's gone. I mean, she touches, she walks up and puts her hands around your waist, her arm around your back, and you're just to the moon. I mean, but here's the deal. Every week, spend some private time with her without expecting sex to come afterwards. Seriously, just, it could be 5 minutes. It could be 10 minutes. You know, the house is falling apart. It's a mess. Everything's boiling over on the stove, and the TV's blaring. The kids are running through like crazy. Turn everything off on the stove first. The kids will probably survive for 5 minutes. Drag her into the other room. Spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes alone with her. Say, how was your day? Tell me a little bit about it. Every week, just a few minutes, private time. Sneak away. I'm telling you, every week, every month, take her on a date that you plan. Not that she has to set up. You set it up. If you have kids, you get the babysitter. You make all the arrangements. Don't let her make any decisions. And you're not trying to boss her around. What you're doing is you're creating an evening just for the two of you that she didn't have to do anything about. Do you know how special she'll feel? Every single month, take her on a date that you plan. Every year, listen guys, this is the big one. Every year, take time off work and spend it doing something she wants to do. In other words, if it means fixing stuff around the house, some honeydews, if it means just taking an overnight stay somewhere, don't burn all your vacation time hunting and fishing. You may be an excellent hunter. You may be an incredible fisherman. And I know I got some hunters and fishermen in the audience right now. You may be absolutely incredible, but I'm going to tell you what will happen. If you burn all your vacation time and all your holidays for that, you will be great at hunting and fishing. You will be a lousy husband and father. And I would rather go off this planet knowing that I love that woman sitting right up there and she knew it. Take some time. It don't have to be an entire week unless you just want to. Take a long weekend. Take a Friday or Monday and say, what do you want to do this weekend? Do you want me to do some things for you around the house? Hey, I'm going to take some time off in the spring, the summer. Tell me what you want. Would you rather me do some things around here that we need to get caught up on? Or would you rather just sneak away for a long weekend? You say, well, we don't have any money. If you're struggling in that area, you plan it far enough in advance, you save a few bucks here and there, it doesn't take a lot. I mean, it really doesn't take a lot. We make money and time for everything else. Make money and time for your wife. Guys, I promise you, you'll start to see a change in your wife. You'll start to see a change in your marriage. Your wife needs you to love her. You can never, ever lead your wife until you love your wife. She won't follow that leadership if she senses no love. You call an excuse, whatever you want, but you won't be able to lead her if you don't love her. And I mean that public, privately. Show her affection. Display affection. Guys, open the door for her. I mean, open the door for her, hold her hand. I mean, could you imagine what it's like? You're walking through Walmart and you're kind of, you know, she's pushing the buggy or you're pushing the buggy and you're just kind of standing there. Reach up and take her hand. You know, If you're not used to doing that, she may stop and turn around and look at you. But I promise you she'll like it. Hold her hand. Put your arm around her. Hug her. Kiss her sometime. Make her feel like the most special woman on this planet, because to you she better be. And to you she is. Put her first. Show her affection. And I said it earlier. The reason you're not king in your home is because you haven't been treating your wife like a queen. I mean, that's the truth. And I'll tell you, and I'm going to throw this out as a warning. Someone will show her affection. It might be someone she works with. It might be someone she encounters at some place she goes every week. Someone is going to show her, your wife, affection. And if you're not careful and you're not the one that's showing it to her mostly, she will be vulnerable to an affair. She may never commit the physical act, but she might be vulnerable to an emotional affair, if nothing else. Because you have not displayed affection on her. You've not been tender to her. You're opening her up for an affair. And you say, man, that was tough. Let me tell you something. When I read the Bible, when I study what God has to say about for me as a husband, there's actually a proverb in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, that as a husband, it is the most terrifying words in the Bible to me. It is the absolute most terrifying words in all of the Bible to me as a husband. And I want to read this verse, guys. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning. Listen to these verses in Proverbs chapter 30, beginning in verse 21. These proverbs are coming in towards the end of Proverbs. If you know, there's 31 chapters. There's 31 proverbs in the Old Testament book of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters, one for every day of the month. But as it gets towards the end, it starts talking about these repetitive things that are just overwhelming, that we really need to know. Listen to what it says. It says, under three things the earth trembles. In other words, there's three things that cause the earth to feel burden. But it says under four of them, it cannot bear up. It says a servant who becomes king. In other words, when the servant slave is made king over everybody, the earth trembles. It says under a fool who is full of food. In other words, you take a fool who's satisfied. Oh my gosh, he's just ridiculous. It cannot bear up. But I'm going to tell you, the most terrifying words as a husband are right here in verse 23. It says, an unloved woman who is married. As a husband, that strikes terror into my heart every time I read it. Because I don't want my wife to ever feel like she's in a marriage and she's not loved. Now, I know sometimes I get a lot of heat from other guys because I do a lot of things that, to really display that love to my wife. And I just tell them, look, because I do birthday week. You know, every year for her birthday, most of you that know me know that I do this. Some of you, I love it because some of you have helped me with it. So that's how much it's caught on. But I do birthday week. That means it's my wife's birthday for an entire week around her birthday. Every single day I give her a gift. Every single day I do something special for her for 7 days. And the guys give me a hard time. I say, look, if you knew me the other 51 weeks, you wouldn't make such a big deal about this. And then I always say, well, you just need to man up and catch up with me, plain and simple. Yeah, that's between the guys. But here's the deal. I don't ever want that woman to be in our marriage and not feel love and affection and tenderness from me. Guys, I'm telling you, as a husband, if you're not married, guys, you're just listening to me. And you're saying, I'm dating somebody, or I want to be dating when I get a little older. I definitely want to get married one day. Listen to me. Love her. Show her affection. Show her tenderness. Be gentle to her. Love her as Christ loved the church. He laid down his life for us. That's the type of love. Don't worry about what your friends say. Don't worry about what the other guys say. You show that woman love. She'll follow you. She'll follow your leadership when she knows you love her. I'm telling you, it's about love and it's about respect. Those are the two greatest needs for a husband and wife. The wife, she needs to be loved. The husband, he needs to be respected.